Hey Potters, welcome to episode 228 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. I am Amber, one of your friendly co-hosts.
And I am Valerie, and welcome to another edition of CosPod here in mid-March, releasing end of March. It's already March. Man, it's almost freaking April. Still no conventions.
The beginning of the year always flies by.
Yeah.
And then the middle of the year, you get the dog days of summer, which just crawl, and you're just aching for cooler weather. And then the end of the year flies by.
Right.
Which is pretty much like what the weather does here in Texas. The nice weather flies by. Then you have to suffer.
Then it's all the pain and suffering with the intense heat.
And humidity.
Humidity's not too bad here. It depends on where you are in this great state of Tejas.
Even in Texas compared to other places, it's still... Dallas gets to about 70% in the mornings.
You haven't been in Atlanta, have you?
Actually, no, I have not. I've been very close to it. I've been in metro Atlanta. I haven't been in Atlanta proper.
Man, Atlanta during DragonCon?
But not in the summer.
Yeah, Atlanta during DragonCon... Ooh, you want to talk about some sweaty humidity.
No, thank you. Though I will say that, speaking of conventions, and this is cosplay related, I did note that because there are some conventions attempting to come back, that somebody made the post, pandemic is not an excuse to not use deodorant.
It's like, good luck. Oh,
Yeah, conventions are trying to come back.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Confunk.
There are many... It was funny, it was on Twitter, maybe about 2 weeks ago, somebody started a thread of, hey, what are the things you don't miss about conventions? Because people have been talking about, hey, I miss this. Let's talk about the things that we don't miss. What has been the great things that we're not having fun with? And the vast majority of it has just been, you know, deodorant, people not showering. Like, the stench. There is a specific stench for conventions, and you just cannot avoid it. Ugh, I don't miss it.
Well, I mean, we could avoid it if everybody took care of business.
Yeah, but you know, not everybody's good. People are going to do what they're going to do.
I will say I don't miss parking.
Yeah, right. Lack of it.
I don't miss having issues finding food appropriate to my diet.
Right.
And lastly, I don't miss having to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a hotel room that I barely stay in.
When you know, when it's off-con season, it's like $60, $70 a night, not $150 a night.
Depends on the hotel you stay in. But even, you know, on a good day, probably $130 is what I'd be aiming towards for your average hotel in Texas. In a touristy area, because Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, they're all touristy areas.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, you get to con season, it's like $200 a night. It's like, okay.
$220, $230, and you're like, okay.
Let's start the room share threads, guys.
We wouldn't have to room share if this wasn't an issue.
For all those who violate fire code by stuffing twice the number of people in a room there should be. Get us all kicked out of the hotel.
Hey, you know, whatever you got to do to save those dollar bills.
I know. So, for my own cosplay, since cosplay updates.
Yes.
Cosplay updates, since the only thing I have are the same things that I showed you last week, which is the shirt that I'm almost finished hand sewing.
Woo!
I did notice that Project Akon has pushed off to 2022.
Smart. A number of conventions have done this, as well as San Diego Comic-Con. So they're all going to be doing like some with the exception of Akon, they're doing some variation of a digital event this year, but more of a compact version. I've also noticed that a couple of events, what they're doing is they're canceling their spring and summer stuff, but they're going to try to do like a mini one in person in the fall in the hopes of everything being better. Fingers crossed, you know, things right up in the air, waffle, waffle, but you know.
Indeed, and that's another incentive for those who have access to vaccines to go get them, please. Because a lot of whether or not we can have those in-person events in the fall is going to depend on whether or not enough people are immune.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, by the time you guys hear this episode, I will be very close to getting my second dose.
Yay!
Still
Not
gonna wear a mask.
me!
Still gonna wear a mask, though.
Yes, and then it is recommended that you continue to do the mask, the distancing, the hand washing, and all that, even if you are vaccinated.
And that goes for everybody else, whether vaccinated or not. Please keep doing the things that we should all be doing so that we can have conventions in person. Because I will tell you that while conventions have done their best in these times with what they have, mm-hmm. especially with shrinking budgets, since you can't really pre-sell tickets for a convention you don't even have.
Right.
They've made really good efforts to have these virtual cons. They're just not the same.
No, they're not the same. I still appreciate them, though, so thank you, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. They've made really good effort. I would still rather be there in person.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for in person. I do like, and I've said this before, I think it'd be cool if they started doing a hybrid model after this, so that way the people who can't attend either because of budget, or if it's out of state, or if it's like San Diego Comic Con, where they only have X number of tickets and they're always sold out like that, it would be nice to have like a paid version where you could watch online and see the events that way. BlizzCon does this, and they do a very good job of this. That would be my recommendation as an example. Please use that as an example.
if you have BlizzCon's budget, yes.
It would be SDCC budget.
Yes, it's a start.
I think that would be kind of nice. So I will take it. Yeah, in-person con, then virtual con, then nothing.
Agreed.
Thanks, Wave Rod.
Though I lovingly still call the virtual con home con.
Home cons. Yeah,
home
buddy.
Con is awesome.
It's good being in your
Most
PJs.
Of the time. It is until you're in pandemic and sick of being at home in PJs. I tell you, I love comfortable clothes. I kind of want to get out of my house.
Oh, goodness.
Even if that means putting on not pajama pants.
Yeah, it means legit pants.
Yeah. I mean, you have to put on clothing, people.
Yeah.
Keep your mind out of it better.
Legit pants. Real pants. Yeah.
Things you are not embarrassed being out in public in. All right. Cosplay updates from you?
I really don't have anything to talk about because I've just been so freaking busy with work and life stuff, but I did get something solidified today. Eridanicon is doing another round this year in April, from the weekend of April 9th, the 10th, and the 11th, and I'm going to be hosting another panel. Yay! They reached out to me. They were like, hey, want to do another panel? Sure, let's do it. So I'm going to be hosting one on Saturday, April 10th at 2 p.m. Central, so our time zone, and it's going to be Embellishing Your Cosplay. And this is a panel I've actually had in my back pocket for a while now, but it was ready to go, but then pandemic happened, so I haven't really had an opportunity to present this anywhere. So this is my first time actually presenting this panel. It's new content for me. So this will be fun and entertaining, and more details, I'm sure I'll post it up either on our social media and then also on my personal pages too. So yeah.
Yay, panel content.
We like panel content, and it's new panel content. It's different panel content, things I haven't seen before. That's my goal, put out new stuff that I have not seen.
And it is much appreciated from those of us who have seen all the beginner.
Nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. I think we're just at the point where it's ad nauseum, and it's like, okay, if I really want beginner content, you can Google Yahoo, Bing it, and you will find tens of thousands of pages about how to start cosplaying. We know.
beginner level cosplay really hasn't changed much.
Mm-mm.
Even though cosplay as an institution or an entity has changed a lot.
Sure.
Like, getting into it in the first place really hasn't changed very much. All of the concepts are pretty much the same as they were when cosplay first started. And there's a ton of content now, especially with pandemic.
Yeah.
Now everybody's online and can produce content.
Really, the only thing that's changed is the accessibility. It's so much easier to get so many of these materials now because mm-hmm. they are all at your local craft store, quite literally.
And there are new materials, to be sure.
Yeah.
But the techniques, to work with them are generally still the same.
Sewing has been the same for hundreds of years. It's not going to change.
Yeah, makeup basics still the same.
Still the same.
Wig basics still the same. Now we're not talking about advanced techniques Mm-mm. or advanced materials. Just beginner level stuff is pretty well established, I think.
So yeah, advanced content.
This is why we like new content.
Yes.
Yeah, for the things that there aren't already videos on YouTube for. Or even if you have, like, new patterns that you're showing off.
Yeah.
Like, new ways of working with established materials. I'm all for that, too. MacGyvering is awesome.
And so is duct tape.
Richard Dean Anderson. He's not Nick Cage, but, you know.
Richard Dean Anderson is a joy.
Yes. All right, shall we get into today's topic?
Yeah, let's roll into our topic. What is our topic?
So for today,
my tab ain't working.
We will be talking about what does your cosplay say about you? And that kind of goes along with getting into cosplay in the beginning, mm-hmm. because generally the very first thing that people will end up cosplaying is going to be a favorite of theirs. You're not necessarily just going to go for the easiest cosplay. You're going to go for something that appeals to you. And that really, I think, kind of sets in, maybe not stone, maybe sets in clay.
There we go.
What the rest of your cosplay career is going to be like. Because you end up like cosplaying similar things at first, I think.
Sure.
Even if it's not the same series, it's the same kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then as you get more confident, then you start branching out. Some people don't branch out at all.
Yeah.
Some people are really just known for a particular cosplay or a particular series that they stick with.
Yeah, I do know a number of people that I follow that are strictly just idol cosplays. That is all that they do. And they do a fantastic job at it, and they love doing it. So it's just like, great.
Some people may stick to a particular, we'll call it console. Like they do just Nintendo cosplay. Or they'll do it from one series, so they'll do The Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, or three, doesn't matter. Just same series.
Just same series of games.
Yep, or maybe they'll just do one genre, like only video games. Okay. So what does that tell about you?
Yeah. All I know is I can just think of my closet and the randomness that it is. Because I am so freaking inconsistent and all over the board. I don't do the same thing twice. Because if you literally just look at every single costume I have done back to back to back to back to back, my goal has always been I want to try something new and learn new techniques with everything that I make. So every time I start a costume project, it is completely different from the last one.
So that says that you like to learn new things.
Yeah, I do like challenge.
You love a challenge. You like to experiment.
Yep.
And that you don't necessarily like being restricted to a box.
That's a good one.
You like thinking outside the box.
Yeah. The box can only be so fun for so long before it's like, okay, I want to do something different. I want to do something new.
So you are not a cat. If it fits, I sits.
No, I'm definitely not a cat.
Break out of the box.
I am most definitely a dog where I'll be focused for a second, the squirrel comes running by, and then my attention gets thwarted. And then I come back.
But it also means that you also view cosplay as an outlet for growth.
Exactly.
And not just like skills, like technical level, but also as a person.
Yeah. Because there's definitely so much I have learned about myself through cosplay and doing all these weird challenges that I have given myself.
But I think also it would tell me that you probably have a pretty broad variety of things that you like.
Yeah. This is
so
very
you're not
true.
Limited to say, you know, just video games or just movies, just books.
This was always an annoying thing for my professors when I was in film school, because they would always ask us what our like top three, top five favorite movies were. And I could never give them a straight answer. Because I love so many different movies and so many different genres and different types and even different countries. I can give you an amalgamation of like my 10 favorites, but they're not even going to be in an order. It's just, I like these. And it would always annoy them because I couldn't give them a straight answer.
And would it change? Has it? periodically, that list? Would it
Yeah. Oh,
change?
yeah. It'll always cycle and it'll always get updated. There are a couple on there that have been there for maybe a good solid 20 years because I haven't seen anything better than that. But you know, it cycles through. But I like the variety. I like trying new things. I like testing new things. I like experiencing new things. So for me, that's kind of part of the fun with cosplay is being able to do all of that just with fabrics.
It also, in a way, tells me that you enjoy competition.
Yeah. Not as much as I used to, but yeah.
Generally, somebody that enjoys pushing themselves and doing the more complex work also tend to enjoy competition.
This is true. You'll see that a lot, especially with like the intermediate and the master cosplayers who are really trying to go up to that next level. They are always trying to push that border and be like, okay, what can I do next, this for this upcoming costume? What is the next big thing that I can add into my repertoire to really stand out on the contest stage?
I also know that you're uncomfortable with props and armor.
I hate props and armor.
It's because your cosplays don't have any of it. I know a few of them do, but in general, most of yours do not have props or cosplay, or at least not hard props. Like sometimes
No.
you'll have soft
I'll have
props like
soft
bags and
props.
such, or plushies, but you don't have hard props.
I have no freaking clue how the heck I made Fu's armor for Magic Knight Rayearth. Like, that still boggles my mind. That's hard armor too. I have no clue how the frick that it's still a one piece. It's still holding together greatly, but my brain just still has not comprehended how I made that thing. It's just like, ah. The only thing I do enjoy, I do love painting them though. Painting is fun for me. I paint away, no problem. Making them? Pfft, no. Just go that
Someone else do it. Here,
Here.
shove it over to somebody else. You take care of
I have commissioned friends to have made some of my props for me. Not gonna lie. These are not my
There you go.
competition pieces, but you know what? If my friends want some work, I am happy to give them prop commissions. I know my strengths and my weaknesses, and for some reason, I cannot get a 3D shape to work when it comes to props and armor. I have no problem with that with fabric. Fabric, somehow, I'm able to manipulate it that it makes sense to me, but those hard objects that have straight lines or curves, my brain's like, no, I cannot comprehend. It makes no sense to me.
Fabric is also flexible. You
Fabric
can
is very
generally
flexible.
make it do what you need it to do. And it's for the most part, there are some fabrics that are not.
No,
For the
yeah.
most part, fabric is pretty forgiving.
You just gotta know how to manipulate it. And once you figure out how to pull and tug and tuck and pin, it's pretty easy to get it to do what you want it to do. But it does take time. Unless it's spandex. Spandex can just stretch everywhere and it's great.
So my
Your
cosplay
closet.
menagerie, my closet is entirely magical beings.
It really is.
Either magical girls or magical women.
Yes.
And that's primarily what I watch. I have a very specific set of skills. Can I say that without copyright? Anyway.
Yeah, you're cool.
But So I very much enjoy sci-fi fantasy. And I enjoy making armor and props, and it shows in all of my pieces. In fact, it's very rare for me to have a cosplay that doesn't have some sort of hard prop
Yep.
or armor
Can't
or
confirm.
both. I also enjoy making things light up, which a lot of my costumes have light-up components. For this reason, I also tend to like being flashy or showy.
Yes.
Like to do something intricate that gets people's attention. Because I know that most of what I cosplay is also not modern. It comes from old school anime or older movies. I don't want to say old movies because it's not completely old. But things that perhaps Gen Z may or may not have experienced as recently as I have. So I tend to have those sorts of tastes, and it very much shows up in my cosplay. I also really like working with simple sewing projects. I don't do the complicated things that Val does when it comes to sewing. My complicated stuff goes in my embroidery or in my armor and prop making. It doesn't go into my sewing. for my sewing is something I would hand off to somebody else. Here's pile of fabric, go.
Make thing.
Yes. And I do the same thing with wig work because I don't know anything about working with wigs, which is also something that I will poke fun at myself for. And it hurts. I cosplay long-haired characters.
You do a lot of Lady Godiva wigs.
Not quite that long.
You've gotten there. Like, you've gotten borderline there.
UA is the only one who comes close.
Mm-hmm.
All of the others only come down to my back. None of the others go past that.
Still, it's long hair.
All of my characters, save Lena Inverse, are long hair. And hers still goes mid-back with the wig that I have. So it's not entirely, you know, short. But all of my wigs are very simple. There's nothing that I have to do to the wig when I get it. I brush it out and I put it on my head. Because I don't do wig work. I don't like doing makeup. And it should be fairly obvious with my makeup jobs. So that kind of tells you quite a bit about, you know, my particular tendencies of enjoying MacGyvering things when it comes to props, because I will do off-the-wall techniques when I make my props and armor. I love teaching.
You're really good at that.
I love showing other people how I do things. I love talking shop. Oh, please stop me at a convention. I will happily talk shop with you. In fact, you'll probably have to stop me rather than the other way around.
Yeah, you're incredibly good at that, especially when it comes to the props and armor stuff. Like, if anyone ever has questions and you talk to Amber about it, she will be happy to go on for hours about every little thing.
Not hours.
An hour.
There you go.
We'll go panel length, an hour, about every little thing, about what she did with her costume, how you can utilize it in your costume, how you can make magnets work. I mean, she goes into details and depth that you won't get with anyone else because she has that experience and she wants to share that experience. And that's the one thing that I love about your work is that you are so open to teaching people how you did the thing. And you can see that in the quality of your work.
Yep, I love not just being able to do it myself, but to empower other people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want us all to be able to cosplay and wear cool things and share our love for our characters.
And I think the fact
I don't really care if it's fancy.
Yeah, the fact that you said the word empower is probably really important here because the women that you do cosplay tend to be very powerful women in their own right. They are strong, they are determined, they have cool weapons, they have cool armor. They may have something simple underneath, but it's because they understand that they're warriors and they need to be able to move and be able to function freely. Hair notwithstanding, because you know it's anime and fantasy. And that
also
comes through in the way that
no
you
seams.
Teach. No seams. Heaven forbid the seams, unless it's Lord of the Rings.
most of them wear completely, like, non-warrior functional outfits.
It's fine, though. They have armor and props. It's fine. But in the process of you making those garments and wearing them, it's empowering you to want to share that love of cosplay and help teach others so they too can cosplay their favorite things.
Yes, I very much like strong women, strong lead women in series. You'll notice that I don't do very much shonen. It's just, I have a preference for magical girls.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, magic kind of gives me a wider breadth of the things that I can experiment with, especially where it comes to, say, effects.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do things like I can make fireballs.
Yeah.
I can make light up swords. I can do these things because the characters aren't limited by reality because they are magical. And I kind of like having that as an option to where I too enjoy going outside the box and having that freedom to go, okay, they have this ability. How can I showcase this? It's fun.
Yeah. And it definitely comes through in your cosplay because you can tell when you're wearing it that you had so much fun making it. We know when something lights up, you get the silliest grin on your face when something lights up in front of you and you just look so damn happy. And it's the best seeing that face from you.
I am a child.
Yes. But
I
in the best
so
way.
I am so easy to please. I am such a child. But it also means that, you know, I'll sit there and as soon as something works, I'll do my happy dance and then I'll sit there and giggle.
Like,
because I'm a child.
I did the thing. I made the thing light up. It's always awesome when you get something cool like that to work, even if it's like your 100th time of doing it. Because Adam Savage is the same way too. If you ever watch his tested videos and he's making like his one day builds, he still gets excited over the tiny little things. He's like, I did the thing, even though I've done this a million times before when working for Lucasfilm. I still did the thing. It's important to still have that joy to be able to capture that when you're making something, because then you're still invested in it. And it makes it so much easier for you to share that joy with others too, because if people see that you're having fun, they want to make sure that, you know, like, oh, I want to be on that fun too. And I think that's why it's so cool that you choose the characters that you do, because you give yourself that creativity with your props and your armor and with lighting things up that makes people go, oh, I want to do that thing. She looks like she's having fun. I want that.
Yep. And I try not to be limited by the whole age thing. In that a lot of magical girls happen to be like teenagers.
Right.
Obviously, I can't turn back time, but I try and, you know, still have that sense of childlike fun as I wear the costume. And you reminded me of something else. It's very obvious I like magnets.
You love your magnets.
I think every costume I have has some magnetic component to it.
Did you have magnets in our Legend of Korra one? I can't remember.
Did I?
I can't remember.
I'm trying to think of, like, all the accessories that we had.
I know. I actually put your Odangos in with, like, super glue, so that's definitely not magnets.
Yes, I remember that.
I'm still proud of that wig. Those Odangos came out real nice.
Actually, no.
Aha!
That is the only costume. because the battery compartment was not magnetically attached to me. It was tied on with a belt.
Oh, okay.
It was a belt underneath the corset that I hooked it to. Otherwise, I normally attach this magnetically.
Oh, how funny. The one but costume, yeah, I broke her.
Every other costume that I have has some magnetic component. Yeah.
It also shows with that, though, is that when you find a product that you really, really love and you know it works for you, you stick with it and you make sure you find ways to incorporate it. It's solid and it's trusting, you know, making you trusting.
It shows that I'm of a very engineering efficient type mindset, because
you are.
I want one component of a costume to be reusable, reattachable, so that it doesn't ruin the whole costume if something breaks.
Right.
So it makes me feel better to have things be flexible and not everything just kind of built in and then it's just stuck there.
Yeah, it's not one solid piece. Both of us do this really well, is that we make sure we build things in pieces. So the idea is that we can put the costume on ourselves and take it off ourselves. And we can make sure that we can have things cleaned and ironed separately and stored separately and properly and safely, so we're not crunching it all together in one bag and oops, broke the armor.
And we can repair them generally as separate pieces too. It's much easier to transport that way too when you
When you really think about it, I mean, as much as I try to keep everything together in one garment bag, I know that's not feasible with a lot of items. If I have miscellaneous props that I got to take with me, and it's like, you know what, being able to separate them so that I can pack them more efficiently, it just makes it so much safer and less worry about something breaking along the way.
I learned that the hard way with a couple of my armor costumes, because I'd have to pack the armor in a separate box because it was rigid enough that if anything like really hit it, it would be damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to pad it. I had to put it in a padded box separate. And that just made more stuff I had to bring.
Yep.
So much easier to have soft armor.
Yeah. So much easier. Oh my goodness. Foam for life.
That's one of the things that I think you end up finding as you progress through cosplay from beginner to advanced, regardless of your age.
Mm-hmm.
But as you go through, you end up finding that comfortable cosplay is just so much easier. In the beginning, when you first start off and you want to show off and you want everyone to take your picture, you always use the fancy materials like Wonderflex or Warbler, Celestine. And you basically end up wanting to show off that way. And you show off based on like the breadth of what you're using. And it's really uncomfortable. So as you gain convention experience and cosplay experience, the cosplay itself might get more complex and more advanced, but you'll find that you end up using simpler and simpler materials and just use better techniques to get the same kind of effect. You don't have to use the other materials anymore.
There are ways to make the big stinking ball gowns actually be comfortable for you and something that you can wear for multiple hours without feeling like it's weighing you down by 50 pounds. Just one of those things that you
And
learn over time.
so that you can, put them on and take them off yourself if you need to, because not everybody has the chance to have a handler at a convention. I know when I go to conventions, I never have a handler. Ah, cosplay definitely can tell a lot about you. Depending on what you choose. And we're assuming that this is cosplay that you make yourself for yourself, as opposed to cosplay that you would say purchase, or that somebody else makes and you're just modeling it. That may not tell as much about you.
Unless it's like something where it's like you stick to a certain type or a certain genre, then that could definitely play more into your personality. Maybe not necessarily your crafting skills, of course, but at least it could say, hey, this person likes this type of content. This person likes that kind of content.
I mean, it could be that you're doing a group cosplay because you want to hang out with your friends. You may not necessarily enjoy the series, but you'll still cosplay along with them because you want to have fun. That won't necessarily tell as much about you. Or if you end up doing something like you just buy a costume for a Halloween party because it's a costume party. People don't always necessarily stick to their preferences in that case.
Sometimes you just pick something because you just want to have fun.
Sometimes the experience of the fun is more important than the costume. Nothing wrong with that. Also, in answer to your question, Rave Rod, doing a Liam Neeson cosplay when? Liam Neeson is not a magical girl,
No.
last I checked. Therefore, he will not be part of my menagerie.
But nice attempt.
You're welcome to try and change my mind. Likewise, Nick Cage, also not a magical girl, last I checked,
Tear.
will not be a part of my menagerie.
Tear. Nick Cage, can you do a voiceover in a Sailor Moon episode so I can somehow convince Amber to join the Nick Cage
That
group?
doesn't make him a magical girl.
I'll find some way to make this happen because he has done voiceovers, so let's figure out something.
I mean, Liam Neeson does indeed have a special set of skills, but that does
Yes.
not make him magical. Some of what he does makes it look like magic, and yes, he was a Jedi and he had force powers. Does not make him magical girl.
Thank you, Qui-Gon. Rest in peace, sir.
And even the cosplay that I have on my want list or my to-do list, I guess you could say, the vast majority of them are magical girls.
Trying to think of what I've got on my list. None of them are magical girls. Huh. But I don't do those very often. It's very, very rare. I got the one. One and a half? I got one. I got Sailor Mercury. But then I have
You have
my
Amelia. You had Amelia.
Yeah. Yeah, that she counts. So two.
She is magical.
She is magical, so there's two. So maybe two and a half, because I was thinking of my Songbird costume from Final Fantasy XIV, because technically magical, but technically idle. It's a weird 50-50 in there, so two and a half.
Close enough.
Close enough, I'll take it. I'm all over the
We'll
place.
round down.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to end our topic for today.
Yeah.
Of course, if you would like to join in with your thoughts on what your cosplay says about you, feel free to join in on any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
For those who are watching us, you can visit all the information underneath Amber. If you're listening to us, check us out at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcasts, or on YouTube and Twitter at CosPodcast.
And of course, if you'd like to try and convince me to cosplay Liam Neeson or Nick Cage as magical girls,
yes, please,
feel free to email us, podcast@cospod.org. I may or may not choose to answer you.
I will certainly answer.
Yes, I know you will. Otherwise, I will say thank you for watching us today. Please keep wearing those masks. Please stay healthy. Keep working on those cosplays so that we can see each other in person soon. Otherwise, we will see you guys next time in episode 229. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.